Hey, I'm Scott Hanselman. It's Azure Friday. We're talking with Kevin Lamb about the Azure Scheduler. We're digging in, getting to learn more about the details. We've made some jobs. We're understanding how the regions work, what Azure Scheduler can do. But there's a lot going on in the dashboard here. It's kind of deceptively simple here, but there's some depth. What am I looking at?
So right here, what you're looking at is an overview of your job collection. So we provide a nice dashboard to allow you to see the number of jobs and if there's anything going wrong with the jobs in your job collection. Mm-hmm. This happens to be a very simple job collection because I have only one job in my job collection.
Out of, like you said, out of 50.
Out of 50. For any job collection, you can have up to 50 jobs.
All right.
But you see that there's one job, none of them have completed yet, but none of them have faulted. You'd see, start seeing red lines, things started faulting.
Okay. And the faulting, as we said before, is anything over a HTTP 400. Is a bad job.
A fault is actually when all the retries for a particular occurrence has failed, then that instance, that job occurrence is faulted.
So if it's, let's say that I have a job and it fails, it's failing every time, but on the second or third try it comes back.
That's right. Then it's not.
It effectively worked.
That's right.
So I would need to figure it out on the receiving end.
That's right.
It would not show up as a fault here.
No. But what I'll show you in a second is the job history so that you can actually see what those results were and if something was misbehaving.
Ah, awesome.
And also what will give you an indication of that is on the bottom we'll show you the errors. And the errors will actually be for each attempt, we will actually record the number of errors that you had.
Okay, so errors are anything going wrong at all.
That's right.
And a fault is, I tried five times, it's pretty sure it's not gonna happen.
That's right.
Ah, okay, cool.
The other thing that we have here is we give you some quick glance for status. The region that you created this job collection in, mm-hmm. if there's any errors in any of the jobs that you have in that job collection, and any of these occurrence faults that we were talking about.
And what is this? Count. What is this scary looking URL here?
So this URL is the URI for your job collection. So you can actually copy and paste that URI, put it into Fiddler, and then look at the details of the jobs within it.
All right, we'll come back to that. That sounds awesome. What's scale? Why would I? How do I scale a job? I mean, you're just calling me on a regular basis. Why do I need to scale that?
Sure. So scale is where we have the place where you can choose your plan. Mm-hmm. So your plan can either be free or standard.
Right.
So for a free job, we had talked about before that you get up to five jobs in one free job collection around the world. And then standard, you get 50 jobs in a job collection, and you can go up to a frequency of every minute.
Oh, okay.
So once you create a standard job, no matter how many job collections you create in the standard, it's still the same flat rate. Once you create that first standard one, then you get billed at standard.
So scale in this context is the number of jobs and the speed at which they get called, not the scale out like we think about it.
Yeah, it's not your traditional scale model like you think of your VMs or your websites where I'm thinking about how to scale out my workloads. It's about the constrained scale of what you have.
That makes sense.
One of the other things that we were able to do is on a job collection, you can set the maximum number of jobs and maximum reoccurrence frequency of that job.
Right.
One of the reasons that we have this here is there's two scenarios that we wanted to support. One was ISV scenarios, mm-hmm. so that let's say I'm an application, a service that have sets of applications or users, and I want to associate a job collection with an app or a user mm-hmm. in my concept. But I don't want to have to manage the quotas that I set on those jobs. So I can set the quotas for that job collection here, and then I would get the appropriate errors as I'm trying to create more jobs. Oh, you can only create five scheduled things in my app, and then we'll actually manage that for you.
Okay.
The other thing that we wanted to do is think ahead towards when Azure supports RBAC, so that we can have
that.
So role-based access security.
Oh, okay.
So that you can separate the roles of somebody who creates a job collection versus the developer or user who creates jobs.
Ah.
So the guy who owns the subscription is paying the bill. Can go ahead and create job collections and put constraints and quotas on it, and then allow his developers to go use those job collections to create jobs.
So rather than saying, "Hey Kevin, here's my credentials. You're admin. Don't mess it up."
Right.
I'll be saying, you have power now to make a job, but only five of them. I don't want you to use all my stuff.
Exactly.
Ah, okay. Nice.
RBAC isn't here yet, but it is. It is coming, and
you're ready for it.
We're ready for it.
Oh, rock on.
Yeah.
Okay.
So one of the things you can do is obviously set those values in here. So you have a slider bar to set the max jobs, and then again pick the max frequency.
Okay.
So what this tells me, if I set it to one day and 37 jobs, that any job that's created in this job collection cannot have a higher frequency than one day. So in other words, I cannot create a minute job in this job collection.
And if one already exists, it just won't run?
Today, actually, that job will continue to run, mm-hmm. But you can't create any new jobs.
So this is an incoming constraint?
Incoming constraint,
okay.
That's right.
Let's take a look at history. Now, I don't think we ever ran this job.
So let's go to another job collection that has
some history. We never did ping bing. Up, you did before. Here we go. So you did it on a previous time.
Yep.
You've done that, and you can see, can you dig into that? Can you like?
Yeah, so you can, so this will show you the retry counts and occurrences, and you can actually select it and then see the response that came back, you know, from there. So you can see the response from Bing was okay.
The full body there too.
That's right. So we will record up to 2K of the message that comes back. And for history logs, we'll keep the last 2 months of history entries for your jobs.
2 months, okay. And can I access those programmatically as well?
Absolutely. So everything that you can do here in the portal, you can do through the REST API or the .NET client.
That's cool. So like I said, my application could present a rich scheduler. Mm-hmm. I could take credit for doing it.
That's right.
And it's all you.
That's right. We're doing that work for you.
That's good. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Can we go back to that management URI?
Absolutely.
So anytime I see something that looks like it could go into the address bar, I have to go and figure out what's going on there.
That's right. So you can go ahead and copy this URI. So this is the URI to your job collection.
Right.
So you can go ahead and...
You've got Fiddler going on here.
I got Fiddler going on in the background. So
okay.
It's not, it shouldn't be capturing new traces. It is. Stop it.
Control X.
F12 doesn't, right?
I was just clearing that out for you, too. Unless this is a different version of, there you go.
Okay. So if I go ahead and paste,
Okay, so that's the URL that you just pasted in there.
So this is the URL. So there's a little magic that we have to explain.
Okay.
So one of the things that we've done is our API is fronted by the service management API, so RDFE internally.
Okay, so that's the thing that the portal itself calls to tell Azure to do stuff, because everything
right.
in Azure is sitting on top of that.
Is sitting behind it.
Behind that, rather.
That's right.
I'm sorry. When I think Azure, I think the portal. That's the user's perspective. Uh-huh. There's the portal, which is just a client that sits on top of RDFE, mm-hmm. the code name for the Azure service management thing.
Yep.
And then Azure is behind that.
All the resource providers are behind it. That's
it's
right.
It's a good resource, restful kind of thing where you want to do something, you got to ask for it, and you got to do it. So you're basically saying that rather than exposing yourself like a website or a web service, mm-hmm. you're... going through a management API, because you're a core
right.
Azure service.
That's right.
Okay, that makes
so
sense.
So you can see at the beginning here, if you're familiar with REST or the URIs for talking to the service management API, that this is management.core.windows.net. So all of the security and paradigms for dealing with that API, we're just, in a sense, a child of that API.
That makes sense.
But one of the programming paradigms that the service management has is that it handles its requests for resources, but for those things that are child REST resources that get passed through to the resource provider, in this case we're talking about the scheduler resource provider,
right?
They have a scheme for letting them know that it's a pass-through request.
Okay.
And what that means is that you have to put in a little tilde. Here's a little magic. To make all this stuff work.
I see. So we can see that there's this magic GUID, some services, a location, now you're a resource or scheduler, and then at that point, then you get this information via after the...
That's
it's almost
right.
like a query string, except the TLDA is a separator.
Exactly. So, you know, if to break this down, this is actually your subscription ID.
Yeah.
This is cloud services, which is an internal programming concept, not hosted services.
Right.
This is letting it know the resources. This is a resource provider that's going to be mm-hmm. handled by us. And this is the scheduler service. And then finally, what's the type of resource, which is a job collection.
Why don't you put that Teal Day in the URL in the portal?
One of the things that we want to do, so this is particularly for pass-through requests. So if you wanted to do a GET on it, we're actually handling that request. But if you do a put, the put actually doesn't have the tilde because they're actually handling that put request.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to give the natural URI for mm-hmm. what that was.
So let me ask you this, and this is an honest question.
Mm-hmm.
How would I ever in the universe know that?
Yeah, that's a very obscure item. It is in our MSDN docs. So when you look at the MSDN docs that's going through our REST interface, you'll see that tilde is there.
It seems like that of everything that we've talked about, that's the one thing that's a little confusing is the switching. When do I need
yes.
that and when do I not?
That's right.
It'd be cool to figure out some way to either express that or get rid of it. I'm sure you can't get rid of it because it's not your fault.
That's right. I wish I could get rid of
somebody
it.
Somebody knows it's their fault.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. So the tilde is there when I do a GET?
Yes, because that's going to be handled by the backend service and will actually make that request.
So, okay. So that came back with a 200.
Yep. So if I go ahead and look at the return set, now one of the things that, right, so here what you can see is that you know, it's in the geo region South Central. We have this is a standard plan. Here's the quota that we have set on it. And so this is just describing the job collection. So this is just mm-hmm. the container.
Right.
But you can see that there's something called, one of the jobs is called kjobs.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to copy that job and go back to my composer. And, I see.
I think we were looking at kjobs.
We were looking at kjobs.
So
we want to see the jobs.
Kjobs is the collection, the
k-jobs,
name of the collection.
That's right.
Slash jobs would be the sub-resource underneath
that's
that.
That's right. So let's go look at the jobs in that job collection.
Okay. Oh, there they are.
So here
and
are the jobs.
And there's the Bing job.
That's right.
And there's the Google job.
So we have a bunch of jobs in that job collection that have already been created.
Oh, there you go. And you have execution count. So just by using these RESTful APIs, which is very simple, I mean,
that's
once
right.
you figure out the magic teal day,
mm-hmm.
then I can, on my own schedule, go and figure these things out, know whether things have gone bad, then you know, text me if something, a job's gone bad or whatever.
As a matter of fact, one of the things that we do have that's, you know, as I said before, the portal experience doesn't really express the whole RESTful API that we have.
Right.
Is that you can actually create an error action job, an error action in your job. Hmm. And that error action says, if all the retries of my occurrence have failed, then call the secondary action. So that can be used for two purposes. One is immediately when that job fails, that occurrence fails, notify some management endpoint that I own that's
right.
in my contoso/management and post a message to that. So then I know immediately that something went wrong.
Right.
The other thing you could do is, you know, we guarantee high availability for executing your jobs, but we can't guarantee the availability of the service that it's calling. So for example, if you have some third-party service that doesn't have the guarantees of high availability, but they do give you an alternate site, then if that site's down, then you can point at an alternate site and then kind of create virtual high availability for your jobs.
That is really cool. That is really cool. And just before we end here, show me the documentation that would tell me all about that great stuff that I can't see in the portal today.
You can go to...
This is all on WindowsAzure.com?
This is all on WindowsAzure.com. So if we go to WindowsAzure.com, we have documentation. We'll scroll down, and we have...
Oh, and there we are, scheduler, right there in App Services.
Scheduler. You get there, and we have a little blurb about it.
And there you go, the REST API reference.
And the REST API reference will take you to MSDN and show you all the content about how to create jobs and other concepts about the scheduler service itself.
Very cool. Thank you so much for sharing.
All right.
It's Azure Friday.